Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Kink Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and this is a podcast where I talk about interesting information and out there stuff, and it's unprofessional. It's very, it's just a hobby of mine. And to the regular listeners who always have to hear that introduction, I'm sorry that I have to explain what the podcast is about and you have to listen to it, because maybe you find it mildly annoying because it wastes 15 seconds of your life. But it's okay. It's okay. I think we can get over it. I'm in a not so good mood today. I had a, I don't know, I do a lot in a day, and I've been doing a lot for a long time. And you think you're going to get to a point where you run out of little things to do, like little chores, like move a pitcher over here and buy a chicken and like put this sticky thing here and write this joke there, like all these little things to do. And you think you're eventually going to start running out and slowing down in things to do. And it doesn't seem to happen with me. And it seems like I've just always got so many things to do, so many things to do. And then, I'm always like, oh, now it's going to run out. And then I had another day today where I just had all these things to do. And it's just like, well, maybe we'll run out tomorrow, hopefully, you know? Okay, I guess it's good. I'm doing a lot of things. I'm doing heaps of things. But it should be, you know, not as much things to do from now on, but we'll see. But I always seem to say that, and there always seems to be more things. It's kind of like when you get bills and you pay off a bunch of bills and you're like, okay, cool. Now I'm going to be clear. There's not going to be any bills for a while. And then the next day you just get hit with another bill and you're like, what the hell is all these bills? Anyway. So I'm a little bit worn out today, and I know I said at the start, good evening, and it might be morning where you are, but it's evening for me. Anyway, this podcast today is going to be continuing the commentary of the YouTube video called Wake Up Call New World Order. I'm going to be continuing that because last podcast we only got about 5 minutes into it. And I'm going to continue talking about this amazing documentary that that talks about a lot of conspiracy theory stuff and gives you sort of the truth about the world. It's quite confronting. If you didn't listen to the first 5 minutes of this documentary, I mean of this video, go check out the previous podcast. Basically, I'm saying don't just listen to today's, okay? This is part two. It's probably going to be about 8 parts to this podcast. So this is a big podcast. So go back to part one. Don't even bother listening today to part two. I mean, I'll talk about interesting things in this part two. But in the first part, I explained fully this documentary and all there is to know about it. So if you're new to this podcast, go to last week's podcast, which is part one, okay? Watch them in order, you know? Okay, so we're going to start about I'm going to press play. I'm going to continue 5 minutes in, and I'll continue the commentary. And basically, I'll play it and say anything that comes to mind. It's of interest. Okay, let's do it. Showing the Federal Reserve Bank. Showing a military policeman. Showing military policeman because it's a police state that's being built up. So communist countries have the whole communist thing with controlling governments and, you know, whatever, that whole situation. But in the Western capitalist world, it's like, yeah, you can be cool, you can have your own business, you can be capitalist, but we're going to have police everywhere and things monitoring you and completely controlled and all these rules you have to follow and all these policemen. And in, for example, in Australia, it's like they've got PSAs or something, which are like policemen specific for the train system, and then they've got like riot squad, and they've got all these different branches of police. They're just having a police, you know. Anyway, let's continue. But what I'm saying is, I mean, of late, I mean, in the past 2 years, maybe I personally believe the New World Order has started to get defeated because of the internet, because it's exposing, everyone's finding out the truth, so it's actually gotten less. But over the past 100 years, it's like the police state's massively been growing, and there's speeding cameras all over the streets of Melbourne and stuff. It's ridiculous. They're just shots of you know, army people getting shot. An RFID chip. They showed a picture of an RFID chip because what they want to do is they want everyone to have a chip so they can monitor them and find where they are and have all the information on this chip. It's part of controlling everyone, using treating everyone like they're cattle. That's what I find funny, because it's like recently in the news a gorilla got shot, and it wasn't really a nice thing, but all these people jump out, and especially these left-wing people jump out and start protesting and getting all upset about this gorilla, and it's just like, dude, do you realize there's much, much more important and serious things you can be protesting? There's like chemicals being intentionally put into the water. There's like vaccines intentionally being used in a bad way to harm people, and it's just like, and you're fussing about a gorilla getting shot? It's just like, man, I wish I could use that protesting energy that you have and put it in a direction that's of something that's actually really important, you know? And all these politicians talk about gay rights and all this sort of stuff in the news, and it's like, cool, give them rights, but it's just like, that's all big distraction, you know what I mean? There's way more important shit that needs to get handled, you know, like the average person just getting mildly poisoned, you know, much more important things, you know. You know, like vaccines causing autism for kids, but they're just fussing about gay rights and that sort of stuff. And it's just like, man, you know, we need, you know, I mean, if I go to these people and I tell these people who are protesting about these things like global warming and other things, and I say, this is what's going on, they just look at you like you're crazy. You're a crazy conspiracy theorist. And it's just like, I know, because the truth is crazy. Like when I found out about the truth of the Church of Scientology, it was just like, what the F? You know what I mean? Like, I know everyone has, like, a lot of people have this idea that, like, oh, it's some dodgy cult and shit. But just when you actually go over the story and you find out the truth about it, it's just, like, it's so unbelievable. And today I spoke to a church member, and because he was asking me what was going on because I'm leaving, because I've left the church. And he was a good friend of mine. And I just gave him a basic rundown of why I'm leaving the church and what I found out. And he'd said that I've been brainwashed, and that I'm like, that I must be kind of crazy or some shit. That's what he was saying to me, because it's so shocking, the truth. But the truth is that I'm not brainwashed at all. I'm actually unbrainwashed, and I'm completely switched on and smart, and I know what's going on. But the truth is so crazy that people just can't believe it. And that's what this documentary is all about. It's just so crazy. So when you go to these people who are protesting for Greenpeace or global warming, and you go, hey, there's actually much more important things. Check out what they're doing in vaccines, or check out what they're doing with chemicals in water, or check out what they're doing with chemtrails. They're just like, what the F? But what's really good is, with the internet, people are finding out the truth. The internet's got heaps of information on it. People are communicating way more than what they were 20 years ago. You can actually talk a lot, and you can find out the truth. I wouldn't have been able to find out the truth about the church, of Scientology, if it wasn't for the internet. That's totally hit them damn well. That's totally hit them hard, because you can talk to ex-members, you can find out all this information, right? And it's the same with chemtrails, and it's the same with vaccines and stuff. People who want to find out the information can find it out. But 20 years ago, they would just read some book by some unusual person who was telling the truth, or go and see a lecture by some usual person who was telling the truth. Now we've got all that, and it's all recorded on the internet. It's just, the internet is just like this whole education tool. It's like the ultimate library, and it also has fun and games on it, and you can chat like Facebook and that sort of stuff. But it's just, it's also got just this hardcore stock of information that can educate people and wake them up. And this is where we are now in the age of information. It's all about information. That's what this podcast is about information. And that's what the internet's about. And that is what will set you free. The truth will set you free. People can now find out about the truth about the world, you know, whereas you couldn't do that 30 years ago. So this is just, and you couldn't do that 200 years ago. So right now is a really, really great time to be alive. You know, it's bad if you're a dumbass and you eat crappy food and you get poisoned by chemicals and vaccines and all that sort of stuff. It's bad for you. But when you come out of that, it's absolutely the best time ever to be alive in Earth's history. So aren't you getting excited? You got to get excited about that. I'm a bit tired, I'm sounding a bit drained. But it's just like, get excited. This is times to be alive. This is the beginning of the Renaissance, they say. Anyway, sorry. That was just me sipping my green tea. I didn't mean to warn. I was supposed to warn you guys at the start. If you hear that noise, that's just me sipping my green tea. So don't be alarmed. It's okay. In the past, you couldn't get educated on these sort of things. You had to try and get one book from the library or blah, 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 blah. Not only is the internet there and it's got all that information and stuff, it also makes the information so convenient. Like, you can just, like, ride your bike and listen to podcasts and stuff. It's just... Right now, the internet's only really been big for the past, like, mega big for the past, like, 5 or 10 years. But wait till 50 years down the track. Just wait. I mean, this internet thing is hardcore. Just wait. It's going to be... Our children, basically, are going to have a great time. And our children's children. I mean, it's just... This is what we've been looking for forever. This is a tool to defeat evil. It shines a light on it, exposes them. They can't get away with what they're doing with vaccines while the internet's around because everyone finds out about it. And then they have other evil plans, and it also makes it hard for them to try and do other evil plans because they're like, crap, they're going to find it on the internet. Now, I know how evil people work. They're going to try and find a way to do something evil that defeats what we do on the internet. Okay, that's just how they work. But this has bought us a lot of time. This is going to give us a little renaissance, you know, I don't know, for 50 or 100 years of goodness. And all the evil is going to be exposed. People are going to find it out. They're not going to be able to get away with all the crap that they've been doing, using us as slaves and harming us and stuff. They're not going to be able to get away with that, right? And eventually they'll invent some new form of harming us. But that's going to be some time in the future. You know what I mean? It's going to be a bit further away. But we've bought us some time. We've bought a little good pocket of goodness, of freedom and fun and finding out about evil. So it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, let's see, 30 years down the track, it's just like you'll be talking to someone and they'll be like, yeah, what the hell were they putting chemicals in the water 10 years ago, you know? And, what the hell were they, those vaccines, or you don't trust those doctors, you have to think for yourself. I'm not saying doctors are bad. Am I an idiot? No, I'm not a fucking idiot. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. Because you say something and people just flip out and it's just like, no, I'm saying think for yourself. Don't trust everything a doctor says. Don't trust authority. Think for yourself. Look and investigate for yourself. That's what I said to the friend who I spoke to today, who told me he's not going to speak to me again because of this whole situation of me leaving the Church of Scientology. I just said, look for yourself. Don't trust what the church says, you know. Think for yourself. It was actually kind of interesting because he said to me, I said how I found out all this information about what's going on with the church. I understand what's going on. And he said to me, you've been brainwashed by these negative church haters. And I'm just like, I said, hold on, just think. Maybe you've been brainwashed by your church. Think about that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, you know? So this is how it works, you know? It's not like I'm trying to change his mind. I mean, I guess I'm kind of am. I just want people to live with the truth and try and find out the truth. You know, otherwise you get used as a slave and you get harmed. But there's something recently I've discovered, right? Don't forcefully try to change people's mind or force your opinions onto them. Just say something like that, like maybe you've been brainwashed, or just suggest something peacefully that's the truth. Because it takes a long time for people to change their mind. I've changed my mind recently. Well, I've changed my mind about something, right? And I looked in the past how I had a completely different opinion. It was actually of my parents. And a few years ago, I had a completely different opinion, right? And now I have a completely different opinion on my parents, right? But what changed me was one little thing that happened 3 years ago. And it just made me think slightly different of them. And then it took like 3 years to finally evolve and change my opinion of them. I'll tell you what it is, right, to get you to understand, because this is important, because a lot of people who know about the New World Order and corruption and that sort of stuff find it hard talking to people who don't know about it, who put up a wall and give them problems, right? Okay, so I used to think my upbringing was really crap, you know what I mean, and really, really bad, right? And it wasn't that good, and compared to most of my friends, it was worse. I didn't have much food, my parents fought a bit, you know, my sister was a drug addict, there were some problems there, right? But I got a bit of perspective. I looked at people who have actually been abused when they were younger, and I actually looked at people who really did have a bad upbringing, and I realized I was exaggerating how bad my upbringing was. Yes, I do think it was bad, and it wasn't that good, and it could have been a lot better, but it really wasn't that bad. And if you look, and if you think about it, it was actually quite good. It wasn't like I was begging on the streets for food. It wasn't like I was abused, like beaten up. You know what I mean? Hitler, for example, had a father that would like full on beat him up. Now, he had a bad upbringing. You know what I mean? Some kid got cancer when they were 2 years old and struggled with it. They had a bad childhood, you know? Not some, you know, parents fighting and having an alcoholic father and just having disturbances and having barely any food. And that's not really bad, you know what I mean? And I've changed my opinion. I could see my upbringing as being actually quite good and actually quite fortunate compared to all these other kids and stuff. It actually wasn't that bad. It wasn't good, but it actually wasn't that bad. I was exaggerating. But I was really certain that my upbringing was really terrible. And I'll tell you how I changed my opinion on that, right? I spoke to someone who had an upbringing that was better than mine. It wasn't perfect or anything, but it was better than mine. And he was complaining. And I was thinking in my head, man, you should have seen my upbringing. Now, what the hell are you complaining about? You know what I mean? And I said to him when we were talking, I said, what did your parents actually do to you though? Because he was complaining, oh, they're so bad, blah, blah, blah. I go, what did they actually do? And I can tell he sort of stopped and thought, yeah, I can tell it sort of changed his thinking, like, oh, yeah, they really weren't that bad. Like, they didn't really, like, beat me up specifically. They were just a bit nasty sometimes, you know? And I could tell he sort of thought about it. And then when I told him that, I thought about my upbringing. I was like, yeah, what did my parents really do to me? And that started, that sowed some seeds of doubt in me. And it was just like, hold on, I'm being a hypocrite. Because I think my upbringing was really bad and my parents really problematic and bad to me. But it's just like, hold on. And so anyway, so that just sowed, 3 years ago, that just sowed some seeds of doubt. And over time, my opinion changed. It didn't radically change one day, but slowly over time. So when it comes to waking up people about this new world order and stuff like that, just say something, you know, just give them a little bit of information, and they're not going to change that day. They're not going to suddenly go, oh yeah, you were right. You know, there's all these chemicals in the water and there's vaccines that are harming kids and President Obama is just evil and works for evil people. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to change just like that. It's just ridiculous. But just say good bits of information that will slowly, over time, it will sow some seeds of doubt and it will slowly start growing. And then eventually, 2 years later, the person could have the exact same opinion as you. And I've noticed that with some of the stuff, some of the people that I'm friends with and stuff, that they're slowly starting to agree with me about things. But when I first said them, it sounded so crazy, but only now they're starting to actually really be on the same page with me and agree with me. Like, it's taken them a fair bit of time, but that's just how it works, you know? And so when I spoke to this guy, this church member, you know, it was just like saying something that can... I didn't expect him to change his opinion during that phone call that we had. But over time, you know, he might wake up to what's going on. I just said, you know, well, hold on. What makes you think maybe you've been brainwashed, you know? And I bet you it did something to him. It made him think and go, you know, and go quiet and go, you know. So... That's how you do it. You don't go on Facebook and go, wake the F up. Why are you protesting global warming when they're putting cancer viruses in people's vaccines? You know what I mean? Like, don't do that, you know? just give him a little bit of information, like, oh, Robert De Niro is making a movie exposing bad effects of vaccines. And then 2 years later, maybe the person has a whole different opinion of it. This technique that I've learned is good because I always had problems with this. So people would always get, I would either get angry with them or they would get angry with me, and I was annoyed how people weren't waking up to things. And eventually I actually stopped trying to educate people on these things because I was just like, you know what, if they want to be slaves, let them be slaves. You know what I mean? That's their free will. Fine. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to help them, you know? And so I just shut up. But I realize, but now I've learned how to be like Jesus, be actually peaceful and just try and say something. And don't expect people to change their mind like that. That's the thing. This sort of shit takes like 2 years to sink in. So this documentary that we're going over, the information in it and stuff, you know, if you're new to all this sort of conspiracy theory stuff, you're not going to watch this documentary and suddenly go, oh, yeah, you know, I totally agree with you, Andy, and all these things, you know. I totally agree with this documentary, you know. But just listen to it and it'll slowly change your mind. And actually, well, to be honest, if someone who's completely new to conspiracy theories, this documentary at all is not for you. You'll just be like, what the hell? These conspiracy theories are wacky and it'll just... it's way too much, you know. You just have to just come across one little bit of information that's kind of soft that they can believe, like, well, maybe too many vaccines while a child is young is overloading their immune system is not good for them. That's the piece of information. It's effing true, and it's not full-blown, you know, too unbelievable for the person. So you say that, and that starts, then eventually they start looking at things, researching things, and then eventually go, yeah, there's these evil people who want to make money and control people, and they're using vaccines to harm the population because they want to bring in a new world order. Like, then you can get to that level, you know? And the first thing I discovered about the new world order was actually psychiatry and how their treatments and their drugs were dodgy. So it started on that level, then it went to then other types of doctors, and then blah, blah, blah. Because antidepressants have been proven to be, like, not beneficial to the person, yet they say antidepressant on them. Like, they're just a lie, you know? They're like, some people they do make feel a bit better. But it's just like, it shouldn't be called antidepressant. It's just like a really crappy product. It's like buying dishwashing liquid that only works 25% of the time, and it says dishwashing liquid. It's just like, what a crappy invention this dishwashing liquid is. It only works 25% of the time. You know, if you buy soap today, soap works 100% of the time to wash dishes, doesn't it? Right? It does, pretty much. That's a good product. Anyway, antidepressants aren't like that. They're crap. Anyway, so I started on a grain and then evolved into bigger things and found out more. And that's why when people tune into stuff like Alex Jones and some other big conspiracy theory people, and even when they listen to this, they're just like, what the fuck? This guy's crazy. This is just what the hell? Because I'm giving you all of it in one go. It's actually wrong for me to be but like, if I'm wanting to wake people up. But this is kind of for people who already are switched on. And also, this is just not professional and it doesn't really reach many people. But if someone like Alex Jones, you know, I mean, you know, he could either go the soft way that I'm saying, or he could go the hardcore way, and that he's doing the hardcore way and he's doing it well, and that's his style, right? But anyway, when you're talking to family members or friends and you want to talk about these sort of things, just remember, just sow the seeds of doubt in them about certain things, and you can change your opinion. Anyway, let's continue with the podcast. Says here, a covert network of elite families controlling the world events from behind the scenes. Yeah, it's true. There's these really rich banker families that can pick politicians and choose things and stuff. These are sort of people who have been, like, assassinating Kennedy and all this sort of stuff. Unknown to most, we are currently witnessing the final stages of a sinister global agenda being carried out before our eyes. So the final stages are like putting chips in us and making us all brain damaged with vaccines and stuff. And and totally making all these governmental rules and regulations to trap us and putting cameras everywhere on street corners and having police everywhere. Police don't even know. They think what they're doing is right. They don't even know. That's part of the way of tricking people and sucking people in is you get people to go along with things and they think what they're doing is right, so they fight for it. And they're good people and they fight for it. But the problem is they're dumb people and they're not educated. Because if they found out the truth, they would instantly stop fighting for it. The following film reveals... Sorry, see, we're only like 5 minutes into the film, so it's just like... This is still just the intro to the film. It's so epic, this film. It's already... Yeah, see how much information it's got? Hold on. And see how... As I'm playing this documentary, I'm telling you all the background information to it, right? And there's so much I've been talking about in the past. We're only 6 minutes into the documentary. But see how when you know shit, you can get a lot of information out of something? But if you don't know anything, you just watch it and you go, oh, that's a picture of candy. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, and that's a red flag. Oh, okay. And you don't understand the significance of all these things. Like the red flag had a symbol of it that meant like black magic from like 3,000 years ago, which means blah, blah, blah. That red flag actually wasn't even in this documentary. I'm just using this as an example. But like you see the picture of Kennedy and you go, yeah, so he's a freedom fighter who was assassinated because blah, 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 blah. You understand all these things, like the penny drops. So that's why you can reread books or reread or rewatch movies and documentaries years later. And now that you've collected all this information and experience and knowledge, the documentary can have a completely different meaning to you and you can get a completely different, you can get way more information out of it. This is what I experienced when I was studying Scientology, because some people would be reading stuff by L. Ron Hubbard, right, reading some Scientology stuff, and I could see how it was just going over their head and it was just skimming over and they weren't really understanding what L. Ron Hubbard was talking about, because what he's talking about is deep stuff and you have to really know about the world and how it works and you have to know about religion and you have to know about blah, 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 blah. You have to know about income tax and what was going on at the time of when he wrote it in 1965 or whatever. You need to know all these sort of things. And then when you read it, it makes a lot more sense. You know what I mean? And you really kind of understand it. But if you just... You know, if you're just an 18-year-old kid now, you're going along and reading it like, oh, okay, income tax, blah, 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 okay, blah, blah, blah. Like, you just don't really understand all this stuff about it. And what happened to me, I'll give you another example. When I found out about evil and the truth of the world and what's going on, that sort of stuff, I could watch a movie like Harry Potter and be like, oh, wow, that's interesting. It's got blah, 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 blah. But when, like 20 years ago, I didn't know about any of this sort of stuff, I watch Harry Potter, I'm just like, oh, this is an entertaining story about wizards flying around. Like, it just doesn't have the same meaning, right? There's a lot of hidden meaning in things, you know? And in my comedy personally, right, if you're really switched on, you really know a lot, you'll see how there's, like, some meaning and stuff in a lot of the stuff I do. But if you don't know about stuff, you just think, oh, that's a funny video. You just don't get any of the stuff that's going along. So not only when someone's learning something do they need to, you know, be able to read and understand what they're reading, they need to have a lot of life experience to really get what's being talked about. If it's something that's complex, if it says, like, I walked down the street and ate an apple, like, it's fine. But when you're talking about deep philosophical stuff, you really get a lot out of it. So, you know, anyway, whatever. Let's continue. It says, the following film reveals. Well, what I'm saying is that's why some people can study Scientology or they can study other things and go, yeah, I've studied that, blah, 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 blah. And they don't get wiser from it. They don't really know a lot. But other people can read it and watch it and get so much out of it, you know? That's why life experience is really important, because you learn a lot, you know? That's why literally a 19-year-old kid just knows nothing. If I think back to when I was 19 years old, I was just such a dumbass. Like, I just knew nothing about the world, like barely anything. Just had no idea what was really going on, you know? And if I watch things now that I watched when I was 19, I'll be able to connect the dots and be like, well, I know so much now. It's just like, you just got to get a lot of world experience and know a lot that's going on. You know? Anyway. It says the following film reveals what the agenda is, and the agenda is a new world order. But let's continue. The people behind it. How it is being carried out. Why you haven't heard about it. And most importantly, the dire consequences that face humanity should this agenda ever succeed. By the way, this is all sort of secretive stuff, or they've tried to keep secret, because when you just openly try and take over the world like what Hitler did, it's so obvious, people just know where the enemy is and they can catch you out. The better way to do it is to trick people and sucker them in. That's how you do it. You don't just openly attack someone. Like, the only way you can do that is if you have, like, epic weapons of there's no tomorrow, that you can just go straight into an area and say, we're taking you over, thank you, and just blow them all up or something. Or just, like, you have such good technology that you can do that. You have to have incredibly good technology that you can completely overwhelm them. You know what I mean? It's much easier to trick people. Wake Up Call by John Nader, 2008. So this was made back in 2008. Lots of things have changed since then.
In the near future.
Just want to say that when you do things that are unusual, like this documentary is obviously unusual. When it was released in 2008, probably got a lot of views. But these things take a lot of years to really kick off. So just whatever you're doing in life, starting a business or whatever, don't be so concerned about getting results today, this month, or this year. Sometimes things take ages. And you can see some musicians like Anton Newcombe from the Brian Jonestown Massacre. You know, he was at it for years and years, just focusing on you know, winning and making a lot of music, and then he builds up a following. You know, don't expect to just get a one-hit wonder like now, you know. Anyway.
Earth is dominated by a powerful world government. Once free nations are slaves to the will of a tiny elite. The dawn of a new dark age is upon mankind. Countries are a thing of the past. Every form of independence is...
So they want to get rid of countries so that there's just one whole world that they can control and no one can escape to. There's no freedom at all because it's just, or they control the whole world. Whereas at the moment, you can like sail into like international waters and you have some freedom in that international waters on a ship, you know? But, and you're only trapped within certain countries, but... they want to make it in the future where they control the whole world, so you're completely trapped. It's a prison planet. Alex Jones, this is Alex Jones who's talking. He's saying, he's talking about a crazy future that might be coming up if we don't do something about it.
You're an attack with the family and even the individual.
See, oh my God, there's just so much to mention. I mean, he's saying how, like, and that's why they're trying to open up all the borders and encourage refugees and all these sort of things, because they don't want people having specific countries that are, you know, this is Australian, Australia's Australian, blah, blah, blah. They want to have it so that Australia's really, really multicultural, and they're like, yeah, Australia's just one state of a whole world of people, and we're in charge of the whole world. They want to get in charge of the whole world, and they also want to attack the family as well. I mean, I'll just play. I'll only say if there's something really important for me to mention.
Itself nearing extinction. Close to 80% of the Earth's population has been eliminated. The remnants of a once free humanity are forced to live within highly controlled, compact...
They want to have the population reduced. Okay? That's one big thing.
Prison-like cities... Travel is highly restricted. Superhighways connect the megacities and keep the population from entering into unauthorized zones. No human activity is private. AI supercomputers.
See, you know, like it's like they're monitoring Facebook and phone calls and all this sort of stuff. They're putting cameras everywhere. There's no privacy because they're following everyone. It's like 1984, the book. Anyway.
Chronicle. prison planet dominated by a ruthless gang of control freaks whose power can never be challenged. This is the vision of the global elite, their goal. A program of...
So you might be thinking, why do the evil people want to control people? For two reasons. Firstly, some of them don't even think that they're evil. Like, they think that what they're doing is good. They're just crazy, right? They want to get rich, right? And they want to live, like, an awesome life, and everyone treat them like, oh, you're the best ever, like, you're like Michael Jackson. Like, oh, my God, Michael Jackson. Like, they want to be like Michael Jackson, right? But they have no talent to be like Michael Jackson. So they want to basically force people to praise them and to give them all their money, and they want to control them. So they want to, you know, be able to make them buy whatever they want them to buy and do. They love power. That's just something about these people who go crazy, like sociopaths and stuff. They just love power and dominating people, and that's what they get off to. That's what I'm saying. I literally mean they get off to, because a lot of them are sexual perverts as well. Like, they literally get off to it. They love it. Like, they... you know, some people's idea of a good time might be to play basketball, but their idea of a good time would to be, like, have someone work as a slave for them, just digging a hole and filling it up with dirt again. And digging a hole again and filling up with dirt again. They'll just watch that and get off to it. They'll be like, yeah, look at this person suffering. Yeah, they just love it.
World dehumanization, where the science of tyranny is law. A worldwide control grid designed to ensure the overlord's monopoly of power forever. Our species will be condemned to this nightmare future unless the masses are awakened to the New World Order master plan and mobilized to defeat it.
True. Seems really extreme, because he's just giving it all in one go, but, you know, let's see one by one. Part one. Still just the intro to the show. The global elite. Okay, so when you talk about elite, this isn't like Donald Trump. This isn't like Richard Branson. Those people just like... public level, these people are like creeps that are like keep themselves and live in dark and controlled thingos, and they're really rich. Like, they're rich on a level that's unbelievable, and they're behind the scenes and you usually don't see them because they don't come out in public and they don't like people and sort of stuff, and they're scared of people, and criminals hide away, you know what I mean, because they're doing bad things. People who are honest and are out in the public are more likely to be honest people. Sorry, the real truth of the matter is that a financial element in the large centres has owned the government since the dates of Andrew Jackson. Yeah, so they buy governments because they can afford. You can bribe anyone if you've got enough money. You just go, here's $1 million, support, blah, 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 and the person's like, oh, I want to have my own boat, and they just get sucked into it. And usually people who don't have much of a sense of right or wrong can easily get sucked in.
In 1775, the American Revolutionary War began as the American colonies sought to detach from England and its oppressive monarchy.
Okay, this is a voice of Peter Joseph, and I disagree with what he wants to do. He's calling for some sort of revolution called the Zeitgeist Movement, which is a similar sort of thing to communism. So he wants to change the world and set up this whole new other system. The problem is that can just get corrupted, just like the capitalist system can get corrupted. So it's just like, that solution doesn't work. He thinks, this guy who's talking now thinks that the problem with the world is money, but it's not money, it's corrupt people who are screwing things up. We need to lock up corrupt people, that's the problem. We need to find a cure for people being sociopaths. Or we just need to shine a light on them, expose them so they can't get away with what they're doing. But anyway, even though I disagree with Peter Joseph, what he has to say about things, he's correct about some things, he's not totally wrong. So this is showing excerpt from Peter Joseph that's correct and it's worth listening to.
Though many reasons are cited for the revolution, one in particular sticks out as the prime cause, that King George III of England outlawed the interest-free, independent currency the colonies were producing and using for themselves, in turn forcing them to borrow money from the Central Bank of England at interest. immediately putting the colonies into debt.
See, this is talking about money and that sort of stuff, but it's just like, if you look at it, say, most people have only got buy their own home. How often do you not go to the bank? Like, most people just go to the bank because that's the system that's set up like that. You know what I mean? And you have to go to, like, a selection of, like, 5 banks and that's all you got to choose from. You know what I mean? It's just, like, it's just dodgy. Anyway, you want to have a lot of options to choose from.
And as Benjamin Franklin later wrote, the refusal of King George III to allow the colonies to operate an honest money system which freed the ordinary man from the clutches of the money manipulators was probably the prime cause of the revolution.
He's talking about the revolution back in America in 1766, and he's saying money caused this whole revolution. Like, the Americans told the British to F off back then, and just were like, we're going to be independent because the British were corrupt. The British government system was corrupted by bankers and evil people and stuff. And so they were like, hey, man, we don't want to charge taxes. We don't want to use your freaking money. We just want to be free. And so they ended up having to go to war to fight for that freedom. And then America was good for a bit, but then eventually, you know, he got corrupted as well.
In 1783, America won its independence from England. However, its battle against the central bank concept and the corrupt, greed-filled men associated with it had just begun. So what is a central bank? A central bank is an institution that produces the currency of an entire nation. Based on historical precedent, two specific powers are inherent in central banking practice: the control of interest rates and the control of the money supply, or inflation. A central bank does not simply supply a government's economy with money, it loans it to them at interest. Then,
so do you realize how ridiculous that is? So you got a government, right, and they go, well, let's start making money and people can use the money to buy goods and services in the country. So then you set up a bank that prints the money and then gives it to the government or gives it to other banks and stuff. But they print the money and then they give it to the government and then they expect the government to pay for interest on that loan and that sort of stuff, when it's just like, hold on. The government's lending money to itself. The bank is supposed to be the government. It's supposed to be a branch of the government, and then it's giving money to other branches of the government, and it's charging them out. It's just ridiculous. It should be for free. You should just give out the money. You know what I mean? And Ron Paul has mentioned this about the American debt, and that's the stuff, because some people talk about the huge debt, and Ron Paul says, well, most of the debt's to ourselves, so we should just write it off and not pay it back, because it's just debt to ourselves. And it's just like, yeah, it's just talking common sense. But what's happened is the central bank has been made private and it's owned by corrupt individuals, and it's basically a private bank. It's not a government. It's not owned by we the people. And so those corrupt individuals are lending money to the government. Obviously, they want to charge the government money, want to charge them interest for that, because they want to make money from it. If that central bank was actually owned by the people and run by the government, they'll just print off money and give it to the main government, and that'll be it. And they wouldn't charge any money for it. But just the fact that they're charging interest on a loan shows how that they're not friends with each other. They're not part of the government. They're just a private thing. And I remember, and see how this is a little bit confusing? Look, when I was studying economics in high school, I remember like trying to find out how the money printing worked and how the central bank, the Federal Reserve of Australia worked and that sort of stuff. And even the economics teachers don't even understand how it works. Because I was like, is the central bank, I was like, is the Reserve Bank the government? It's like, yeah, it's a government institution, but they're private and they have nothing really to do with the government. So is it a government or is it not? And the truth is, it's just a government institution in name, but it actually doesn't function like a government institution. You know? It's like the Church of Scientology is called that in name, but it's not actually run like a church, like run like a corporation. It's just dodgy. Everything in this world is just dodgy. They just choose different names. That's why it's like it's confusing and that sort of stuff. Like, you know, I mean, a mild example of it is how the IRS in America is called the Internal Revenue Service instead of just calling it the tax department. You know, it's just these shifty ways of naming things that trick people.
Use of increasing and decreasing the supply of money, the central bank regulates the value of the currency being issued. It is critical to understand that the entire structure of this system...
I'll just give you an example, right? If you control, if you've got these private dudes controlling this so-called government institution that prints money, right? If they print a lot of money, then that dollar you got in your pocket isn't worth that much because there's a lot around and everyone can have it. But if they print barely any money, that dollar in your pocket's worth a lot, right? That makes sense, yeah, because barely anyone has any dollars in their pocket. Well, if you're in charge of that, guess what you can do? You can, on the stock market and with other things, you can go, well, in a year's time, we're going to print shitloads of money, right? So right now, I can buy up all these things. And they'll go do that. They'll go up, buy up all these things. In a year's time, they'll print load all these shitloads of money. And they see how they trick the system? They know what's coming in the future because they're in charge of the money supply. You know what I mean? So they play this game. So they manage to steal all these things, yet it doesn't appear like they're stealing all these things. But it's only because they know the future. If you take a lot of people who know stocks and that sort of stuff, stock market and all this stuff, if they knew what was going to come in the future, they could make a killing. So these central bank people know what the dollar is going to be worth in a year or 10 years' time, so they can make a killing from it and just totally benefit from it. It's a clever, white-collar, financial way of stealing all this money, basically.
Only produce one thing in the long run. Debt. It doesn't take a lot of ingenuity to figure this scam out. For every single dollar produced by the central bank is loaned at interest. That means every single dollar produced is actually the dollar plus a certain percent of debt based on that dollar.
Which is ridiculous.
Since the central bank has a monopoly of the production of the currency for the entire country.
These monopolies are always bad things. So they're the only, central bank is the only people who can print money. So just they have no competition, it's just them. You know, monopolies are not good. When it comes to anything, like doing religions or eating burgers, you just don't want to have one person in control of it because that person could be bad. You want things to be free.
Loan each dollar out with immediate debt attached to it. Where does the money to pay for the debt come from? It can only come from the central bank again, which means the central bank has to perpetually increase its money supply to temporarily cover the outstanding debt created, which in turn... since that new money is loaned out at interest as well, creates even more debt. The end result of this system without fail is slavery, for it is impossible for the government and thus the public to ever come out of the self-generating debt.
How you break out of these systems is to just not use the banks and avoid it and hopefully try and use your own currency. That's why I'm a fan of Bitcoin. I think it's a good thing. You just got to find the right safe website to use. But if there's only one website where you can get bitcoins from, if there's a monopoly, no, that's where things are bad. You got to have lots of websites and stuff and people competing and you're much safer, you know? But that's why I like Bitcoin, because it's like, hey, F you government, we're not going to use your cash, we're just going to use Bitcoin to transfer money and stuff. It's a much safer way, or just transfer gold or whatever. The way to avoid giving people power is just to just ignore them and stop giving them it, you know, stop using their money and stuff, stop using their banks and stuff. Like right now, if I had $1 billion, I wouldn't put it in the bank, you know what I mean? I don't want them having that money. I'd find my own way to store it. I'd find a safe small place to put it, or a safe small institution to store it in, not one of their big banks. You pull away from them and you don't give them power.
Fathers of this country.
What I'm saying is we could bankrupt all these banks if everyone just pulled all their money out of them and it's had nothing to do with them. They'll just close down, that'll be it. That's what needs to happen.
We're well aware of this.
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous than standing armies. I agree, yeah. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of currency, which is what's happening, but they call themselves a government institution, but it's not, it's actually private banks, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children wake up homeless on the street or something like that. And that's what's happened in America, like a lot recently with their whole GFC collapse and that sort of stuff. Is that all these people couldn't afford their home loans and the banks just came and kicked people out of their homes using the police and just like, were like, hello, that's our house now, and now there's all these empty houses in America. And the banks own them. So basically the bankers are stealing land in the world from people, so they own everything. If you look at it today, it's like if you could work hard for like 5 years back in the 60s and buy your own house, an awesome house, whereas now in Melbourne, if you work hard for 5 years, you're not even going to come close to be able to afford your own house. I mean, house prices are so utterly ridiculous. And the bankers are laughing all the way to the bank. Because the average person in my generation is going out and borrowing ridiculous amounts of money, they can just be paying off the loan for the rest of their life. Whereas back in the 60s, you know, you could just take 15 years and pay it off or something, you know. It's just crazy. If you want to remain slaves of the bankers and pay for the costs of your own slavery, let them continue to create money and control the nation's credits. Nation's credit. That's true as well. Like, they're so epic in the way that they rip people off. They rip people off and they also make the person pay for their own ripping off. Like, it's just epic. And that's what I noticed when the Church of Scientology got corrupted. It was like, not only was it bad that it got corrupted, but people were also paying for their own corruption. They were paying and supporting the church that it was corrupting them. So it's just ridiculous, just a joke. They sucker people into contributing to their own slavery. And the way this New World Order operate and stuff, it's just like they not only use you as a slave, but they also get you to be your own slave of yourself and to enforce it yourself and to pay for the fences that you're being put in and stuff. It's crazy. That was by Sir Josias Stein. By the early 20th century,
the U.S. had already implemented and removed a few central banking systems, which were swindled into place by ruthless banking interests.
Yeah, so these dodgy bankers, they just keep on trying to encourage governments. You have to just be switched on, be continually willing to fight back. Because, you know, never know when they're just suddenly going to try and put some bill in the parliament and trick you and trick everyone and be like, yeah, oh, now we've got a central bank now. Like, they're just so shifty, you know. That's why I'm not a fan of big governments or even almost any government at all, because it's just like they so easily get corrupted. You know?
The dominant families in the banking and business world were the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Warburgs, the Rothschilds. And in the early 1900s, they sought to push once again legislation to create another central bank. However, they knew the government and public were very weary of such an institution, so they needed to create an incident to affect public opinion. So, J.P. Morgan, publicly considered a financial luminary at the time, exploited his mass influence by publishing rumors that a prominent bank in New York was insolvent or bankrupt. Morgan knew this would cause mass hysteria, which would affect other banks as well. And it did. The public, in fear of losing their deposits, immediately began mass withdrawals. Consequently, the banks were forced to call in their loans, causing the recipients to sell their property, and thus a spiral of bankruptcies, repossessions, and turmoil emerged.
See how, when you're a real big shot, you're really influential, and when you got other friends who are big shots, you're really influential, so you can just get together and go, hey, you know, and this is what happens. It's just so, when you get really powerful, you can just do so much. So you can say you got it like a share price of like some company, and you can just go, oh, well, let's all sell our stock of this share price and plummet it down, and also talk to media outlets and say that, you know, they're going bankrupt and bad, and we can start a whole panic and we can ruin this company. Let's do it. And they can just go ahead and do it. And because it's so powerful, like if I did it, you know, I don't have much money, so it wouldn't influence it much, you know. But when you got billions of dollars and you're friends with other billionaires, then you can really make a difference. You can ruin a company. And good people don't do this, but this is what evil people do. They do this to get more money. They're just criminals.
Pieces together a few years later, Frederick Allen of Life magazine wrote, "The Morgan interests took advantage to precipitate the panic, guiding it shrewdly as it progressed. Unaware of the fraud, the panic of 1907 led to a congressional investigation headed by Senator Nelson Aldrich, who had intimate ties to the banking cartels and later became part of the Rockefeller family through marriage. The commission, led by Aldrich, recommended a central bank should be implemented so a panic like 1907 could never happen again.
Okay, this is what happens all the time. So there was this panic that J.P. Morgan started, and he created it, and then he goes, oh, and then the government go, oh, we need to do something to solve the problem. This is the problem with the government. They always think they need to do things to solve problems, right? That's not the case. You know what I mean? Just things happen, just let it be. Because a lot of the time the government try and do things, like they have their war on drugs and they have their speeding cameras and all this sort of stuff, trying to solve problems, but it just makes more of a problem. The government is just so stupid. It's beyond belief how dumb they are. But not just that. I mean, also there's corrupt people that are influencing them, trying to change things. But they're also... just the amount of times that when I've been looking to government and finding out what they've been doing, a lot of the times I've been looking into the things that they've been doing going, oh my God, they tried to do this and just made the problem worse. They tried to do that and they made this problem worse. And it's just like they're better off just doing nothing. And that's why I'm not for big governments. I almost want to have no government at all, because it's just like it can get easily corrupted, and it's just like their efforts to solve problems are just so bad. It's just like you might as well just not do anything at all. It's like you try and stop people from taking drugs, which is a really big and bold task to do, that has just failed, hasn't worked, has cost millions of dollars and caused corruption and just caused all these problems. And it was just like, you're better off just not doing anything at all. It's just ridiculous. It's so, so ridiculous, government. Anyway. I noticed it also in the Church of Scientology when I was involved in it. Like, I noticed how they'd done all these things to try and solve problems and just made problems worse. Just such a joke.
This was the spark the international bankers needed to initiate their plan. In 1910, a secret meeting was held at a J.P. Morgan estate on Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia. It was there that the central banking bill called the Federal Reserve Act was written. This legislation was written by bankers, not lawmakers. This meeting was so secretive, so concealed from government and public knowledge, that the 10 or so figures who attended disguised their names when en route to the island.
Okay, so this is what they always do, evil people. They create a problem, right? And then the public goes, oh, we need this problem solved, blah, blah, blah. And then they present the solution, and it's all planned. They present the solution, and then people go, oh, okay, we'll vote that bill in. Whereas if they just said, let's vote in a central bank, people would just be like, no. You know what I mean? But they had to make a problem. So all these people go, and all these brainwashed people who just don't know about the world and aren't switched on go, yeah, let's do that thing. Let's put speeding cameras in. Yeah, let's put that central bank to solve the problem and stuff. And it's just like, it's just a joke. It's just a joke.
After this bill was constructed, it was then handed over to their political frontman, Senator Nelson Aldrich, to push through Congress. And in 1913, with heavy political sponsorship by the bankers, Woodrow Wilson became president, having already agreed to sign the...
He said heavy political sponsorship from the bankers. So they'll be doing ads on TV that are like, oh, we've got a problem in the world, and it's blah, 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 and you need to do blah, 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 trying to change people's opinions so they all vote for that. You know what I mean? It's just all manipulative.
Reserve Act in exchange for campaign support. And 2 days before Christmas, when most of Congress was at home with their families, the Federal Reserve Act was voted in, and Wilson in turn made it law. Years later, Woodrow Wilson wrote, in regret.
Our great industrial nation is controlled by its system of credit. Our system of credit is privately concentrated. The growth of the nation, therefore, and all our activities are in the hands of a few men who necessarily, but... very reason of their own limitations, whatever, chill and check and destroy genuine economic freedom. We have to come to be one of the worst ruled, we have come to be one of the worst ruled nations in the world. Sorry, I'm just screwing up the reading of this. It's not a government of opinionated people, it's a government of small groups that are dominating it. Small groups are dominating the government. Woodrow Wilson. Okay, sorry, I read that quote so badly. But you get the idea. He's saying he's backflipping on his mistake that he made. He must have written this before he died, I think he said. And he's just saying, you know, our country is no longer ruled by the people. It's ruled by these bankers because this Federal Reserve system is crazy. So people think that they're like, they're making their, people think they have freedom. They're like, oh, I decided on that. I voted on that. But they didn't realize that they were getting brainwashed by the media and bankers, and the problem was created in the first place by the bankers. So they're all getting tricked, but they're thinking, I'm having freedom. I'm deciding what's right in this world and blah, blah, blah. I'm deciding what should get voted in and stuff. And it's just like, no, you've just been brainwashed by all this crap. Anyway, so we're 15 minutes into the documentary, and it goes for like 2 hours. So this is going to be many podcasts, this one. It's great information. The hour's up, and we'll continue next week with part 3. So that's it for me, Andy Nolch, the Space Cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. Ni hao!